From Florida, now we head south to Haiti, where the death toll from Matthew is now in the hundreds. There are reports that the entire southern coast of that country of 11 million people has been completely devastated. Here's John Hassey. He's National Director of World Vision Haiti, speaking to us from Port-au-Prince earlier today.
Due to heavy flooding, World Vision anticipates spikes in waterborne diseases, especially cholera. Diseases that are spread by mosquitoes such as malaria, Zika, and dengue fever are also expected to increase dramatically. Because so many crops were destroyed, childhood malnutrition, which was already a significant problem in many of the most damaged areas, is also expected to increase.
Well, you just heard a minute ago how Matthew is affecting the presidential election in Florida, but in Haiti, that situation is even more severe. On Sunday, Haiti was supposed to have its presidential election, and that would have been a restart from the first round of elections in October that were dissolved because of charges of fraud. Now, because of Matthew, that vote has been postponed yet again, and a new date, of course, has not yet been announced as Haiti tries to begin recovering from this latest round of natural disaster devastation. Amy Willens has covered Haiti for decades. Her latest book is Farewell, Fred Voodoo, A Letter from Haiti. It looks at the country's history and how it's moved forward since the devastating earthquake in 2010. Amy Willens, welcome.
Hi.
That earthquake in 2010, of course, killed 220,000 people at least, injured 300,000, 1.5 million people displaced, an awful disaster. Was there any increase in preparedness that came from that? That has helped Haiti now with Matthew?
Well, as you know, preparedness for an earthquake and preparedness for something like a hurricane or a tornado are very different. You have a little bit of warning for the hurricane. You don't have warning for the earthquake, and Haiti was completely unprepared for the earthquake, even though it had a history of earthquakes. But I think most Haitians didn't even know that. Since the earthquake, there have been reasons to support the medical infrastructure in Haiti, and the reason to support it was the cholera epidemic. So there are more widespread clinics that can deal with cholera. Cholera came in after the earthquake with some UN soldiers who carried the disease but didn't show it. So in that sense, there's somewhat more widespread clinic care available. But in a situation like this, the clinics won't be able to get their supplies. The roads are all down. So I don't think even that's going to be that helpful. Otherwise, I think there's some more heavy machinery available in Haiti than there was before. There may be more helicopters than there were before the earthquake. All of those are very important in getting supplies out to people in areas you can't reach on the ground.
And Amy Willens, we mentioned that the presidential election was supposed to be held in just a couple of days. That's on hold. What is the state of governance now with charges of fraud even heading into this election more than a month ago, now that this devastating natural disaster has come through and they can't even hold elections? Is there a political disaster waiting to happen, or is governance at least solid for the moment?
I think the political disaster it's not a single event. So the political disaster is an ongoing thing. You could say it began in the October election that was contested after it was held. Matthew is adding to the ongoing disaster by forcing the Electoral Council to delay the election, but I can only imagine that the Electoral Council is delighted to delay the election. You know, that just puts it off further, and it's been a chaotic electoral season and financed by huge amounts of money. The United States, I think, has put $33 million into this election that hasn't really happened yet. And I think they're supposed to announce on Wednesday the new date for the election, so we'll see if they can get it together to do that. But it's a really scary thing to have a disaster like this with a so weak a government that, you know, you don't even know who to turn to. There is an interim president, but he's not elected and he has no mandate.
And devastating events like this can sometimes bring out the most cynical behavior in politicians of any stripe. Amy Willens, what is your most immediate hope now for Haiti, given, I mean, this is the immediate aftermath of the storm. We're still counting the dead and injured. You know the country so well. So what is your most urgent hope for the country at this moment?
I hope that the international community of helpers and relief workers and reconstruction workers will have learned from the earthquake to try and let Haitians take the lead in reconstructing the country. It's really, really important to give them your know-how and to help them with your money, but to let them make the choices. We see them already beginning to rebuild. It's amazing how Haitians stand up after something like this. And you can see in the video footage, if you look at it, people are taking away the ruins and starting to rebuild anew.
Amy Willens, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks so much.
Amy Willens covers Haiti. Her latest book is Farewell, Fred Voodoo, A Letter from Haiti.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.